Hello, my name is Ben Jenkins, and welcome back to another episode of the New Good Radio Podcast. In celebration of International Day of the Midwife, as well as today being International Nurses Day, I interviewed Charlotte Stevenson. Charlotte is a graduate of the double degree in nursing and midwifery from here in Australia. Charlotte has done an incredible job through uni for what is a tough degree that she got through. She also went into her graduate program, has completed dual rotations of working in both nursing and midwifery, and at the end of that year has ended up earning herself the title of Graduate Midwife of the Year for where she works. So Charlotte has done a fantastic job. In today's episode, Charlotte goes over her journey into nursing, talks about her time during her graduate program. We go over a few of the roles that midwives play and the diverse range of areas that midwives actually work. Charlotte goes over a few of my questions regarding to obstetric emergencies and the role that midwives play during such emergencies, and answers a few of my questions regarding sort of how midwives play into the emergency department as well. So I think there's a lot that we can all learn from Charlotte today in this episode, and I'm incredibly thankful for her time and for being on this podcast. So anyway, guys, I hope you enjoy this episode with Charlotte Stevenson.
All right, g'day there, Charlotte. Welcome to the podcast today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's awesome. I think there's so much that we can learn from you. We're just saying earlier in a bit of a chat that we just had before clicking record, talking about especially emergency clinicians. And in Australia, there's so many emergency clinicians who are interested in life flights and the Royal Flying Doctor Service. And going and specialising and getting some information about midwifery is certainly a big ticket item that we need to be looking at. Alrighty, so Charlotte, today you've graduated with a double degree in nursing and midwifery. How about we talk about your journey into nursing and getting into nursing school as well?
Yeah, so I went into nursing, went into my double degree straight out of high school. My mum is a registered nurse, so I suppose I always grew up with that sort of career well known to me, I guess. But to be completely honest, I had no idea what I wanted to do when I was in school. I submitted and, you know, did my order of university preferences the day I got my school results and just thought I'll just give it a crack and see what happens. I was never, you know, I was never 100% this is going to be it. I just sort of went with it and thought we'll give it a go and see if I like it. So the course was obviously a double degree in nursing and midwifery, and you come out the end as a registered nurse and a registered midwife. And it was quite intense, to be honest. The course is very, I mean, content wise, it's the same as, a Bachelor of Nursing, but because we did the placement, 800 hours for each, qualification, you just felt like you were on placement in your training hospitals the whole time, basically for 4 years.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so
because we went through the same uni together, and I just remember that, especially like yourself being a double nursing mid and myself being a double nurse paramedic, a lot of those holidays, there was just no real holidays. Like all your
There was no break at all.
No, so you felt like you're just going from placement to placement, and then you're straight back into doing uni work again.
Exactly, definitely.
And I know that they push you guys hard too. I know that the entrance to even get into the nursing midwifery is so intensely high, and the rate of work that they put you guys through is just immense. So it's a huge credit to you to also have done as well as you did as well is outstanding.
Oh, thank you.
And also for you as well. Like I remember my final year, one of my favorite subjects out of all of the double degree, and there was a paramedic subject that we did. And it was all based around obstetric emergencies. We'd go off and I did 4 days in a birth suite, which was fantastic, and learning all of the different management of it. And for you guys, it would often be the final year nursing midwifery students who'd be teaching us in our practical classes. So that was, you guys are getting hands-on time and teaching time. So you guys are just high performers all around.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, it's good.
So once you've graduated uni, after you've done all of these different placements, well, actually, how about we stop before there? So even during those placements with those 800 hours of midwifery, what sort of placements were you going on?
So they were generally a bit of a mix. So we did everything ranging from your birthing suite placements, postnatal experience, domiciliary, which is visiting women in the community after they've had their babies. So the midwives will go and visit them a few times in the week following their birth, the antenatal clinic, the special care nursery, and then all of the, I did obviously nursing rotations as well, which included emergency rotation and general medical and surgical wards as well.
That's incredible. You're pretty much getting right at the forefront of the experience all the way through to the end.
Yeah, so I remember on my first ever day of placement, I think I saw a lady give birth within 20 minutes of being on shift.
So, right into it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And what did you think at that time? Was that exactly what you're looking? You're just like, that's exactly what I want to do for my career. I know I'm in the right field, or?
I think so. I think it took me, you know, sometimes at different, depending on where you were, what placements you were on, you could sort of, sometimes you just absolutely loved it, and other times you thought, oh, can I do it? Like, is it for me, I suppose? But I guess I just sort of thought everyone has those feelings in any career that they go into. There's going to be times where you think, are you cut out for it and stuff like that. But yeah, it was pretty good to see that straight up and sort of know this is what it's all, you know, this is what it's all about, really.
That's it. So you've got there, you've graduated now, you've got your job. Whereabouts, or what sort of area of nursing? So you qualified as both. So what did your graduate look like?
So when I applied for graduate programs, I applied for dual programs, so ones that had a registered nursing component as well. So I actually put in a preference to do my general nursing rotation first. So when I started my graduate, I did 3 years in a medical surgical ward in the same hospital. And that was because I really wanted to be able to consolidate things like IV antibiotics and time management, all those skills that we also use in midwifery every day. But I just felt like it would ease me in better for me personally. And then in the program, I also was able to do 5 weeks in the special care nursery, which I love. Oh, wow. And 5 weeks in the antenatal clinic. And then the rest of the time was divided between postnatal and labour and assessment shifts. So they would change every day. So a couple of days you'd have postnatal shifts and then you would have labour shifts. It was never in one place, you know, for an extended period of time, except for the nursing rotation and then the nursery and those ones. But, yeah, so it was good. I really enjoyed being able to do both. When I started the degree, I had no intention of being a nurse at all. But I absolutely loved my nursing rotation in the end. It was so complementary to what you do as a midwife. And I just learned so, so much from it. So I'm really, really grateful to have been able to do both as part of my grad program.
So you seem to have a real love for that special care nursery. Like, what does that involve?
I don't know why I ended up liking the nursery so much. I think it's just because the babies are there for a little while and you sort of just really get to know the families and you see them, you know, getting better to go home and growing, and it just gives you such a nice feeling when you see the babies go home when they've been there for, you know, 3-4 weeks or however long. So yeah, it's good. Our special care nursery is sort of connected to the ward that I work on, the maternity ward, in a way. So it's good to be able to work in there and, you know, get an idea of what we can do in the postnatal ward to prevent babies requiring admission into the nursery, basically. So things like management of hypoglycemia, hyperthermia, all those sort of things that we can sort of deal with on the ward to prevent them needing to go in there.
Okay, that's sure. So when you say maternity ward, is that mostly for the women, or is that the women and the baby as well? What does it look
so
like?
The women and their babies, yeah. So in most public hospitals, from what I'm aware of, the babies stay with the mums the whole time, unless, you know, they only go in the nursery if there's a medical indication for them to be admitted there. But on the maternity ward, yeah, it's mums and their babies. So in your ratios, you have, you basically have four mums and four babies on your shifts to look after.
My goodness, that is intense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. That's very incredible. I was going to, one of the questions I was going to ask you, Charlotte, was what does a typical day look like for you? But I guess that's going to differ on exactly which area that you're going to be in.
Yeah.
How about the focus at the moment on the birthing suites aspect of it?
Yeah, okay.
In the lead up and preparation for today's episode, I reached out to a few of my nurse midwife friends who are going through uni, so doing the exact same degree as what you were doing.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that they had as well was, yeah, what is a typical day? But also, how many births would you see from on a normal day?
So with the, a normal day in birthing, so basically in where I work, they have a certain number of staff, and you're staffed to work in the labour and assessment area. So you'll either be allocated to a birthing room for either an induction or someone that's coming in labour, and then, or you could be allocated to outpatients. So outpatients, you could have anything walking in the door. You could have people coming in for a labour assessment, people coming in with high blood pressure, PV bleeding, anything really. We see anything and everything come through. So your day, you can never ever predict what your day is going to look like, really, even if, you know, you just don't know what's going to come through the door. So with how many births you see a day, you know, sometimes you could go a week and not see any, but then you could see three in a day, or because with the way what happens here is when, so you have a primary midwife looking after you in labour, so one-on-one care. But if, when the baby's about to be born, usually you press a buzzer or call for assistance somehow, and a second midwife comes in the door. So the second midwife's only usually in the room 10 minutes or so. So you could, you know, you could be the midwife in the room, or you could be the one that comes in to, it's called receive the baby is the way it's worded. So yeah, it just, you just have no idea what you're going to see every day when you get to work, or depends where you're allocated. And yeah,
that's incredible. So when you say that these women are walking through the door, do they initially go through the emergency department, or do they just know come straight to you?
So some of them go to the emergency department. I suppose it depends on the severity of what they're presenting for, but often they just call up. Majority of the time they just call our number, and usually it's the midwife in charge of the shift will take a call and advise them whether or not to come in to be assessed. And also sometimes they can be sent from the antenatal clinic. So if there's something that the clinic think needs further investigating or something like that, they could send them up to the ward, to the outpatient area.
Okay. No, fair, cool. So if the... So let's just say that a patient's coming through the doors of the emergency department. They know that they're pregnant, but they haven't called you through.
Yeah.
Where does the midwife sort of fit into it? Do they come down to the emergency department at any times?
Yeah, they do. So I think, I'm not sure how it usually, who calls who, but I think usually either the doctors or nurses in emergency will either call our midwife in charge or the obstetric team, and then we often go down to emergency. I haven't done a birth in emergency, but I've gone down to perform like a CTG, so a monitoring of the baby, in emergency if the patient's there for something that, you know, they have other injuries or other reasons that they're in emergency that are non-obstetric related. We usually can go down and do that just to check everything's okay. With baby, we go down to emergency to perform that rather than then coming up to us most of the time. I think where I work most of the time, they would try and transfer to maternity, to the labour suite if someone was going to birth. But I guess if they were close to it, then we would probably go to them.
So if you did come down, you've mentioned the CTG. What sort of other assessment tools and techniques do you use?
I suppose your first thing is just getting a bit of a background on them, how many weeks they are, you know, what number baby it is, their general health in pregnancy, if they're feeling their baby move, if they've had any blood loss or their waters have broken, things like that. You just ask all the normal questions, which sort of becomes really instinctive and natural to ask. Like, you just roll them off as soon as you see them. And then, yeah, just listening to baby and I suppose just checking that there's nothing else obstetric related, they're not contracting or things like that. I guess it depends what they're presenting for, but yeah, getting a background history really and going from there.
With midwives and talking with the emergency clinicians, what sort of information do you want to hear from us? Like, what sort of handover should we be giving you? Or are you pretty much already down in the emergency department doing your assessments already?
I think it doesn't hurt to know anything really that they've come in with. So I feel like I would talk to the woman anyway, and just in conversation you'd say, oh, what number baby is this for you and how many weeks are you, what brought you in today? But in that conversation they might not bring up all the nitty-gritty details of why they came in or any relevant past history or social history, anything like that, of course, is important too. So I think it's good to get a full handover like you would give if you were handing over to someone coming on for the next shift, really, or at least a couple of minutes with everything that you know about why they've presented.
What are the most common things that you see that women are asking you, or sort of common presentations they come in with?
Into emergency or?
Yeah.
A lot of people go in with, you know, nausea and vomiting, some motor vehicle accidents and things like that. So when someone's been in an injury or a force to the abdomen, we do a 4-hour trace of the baby's heart rate. So things like that. I mean, it could be anything really, anything that a non-pregnant person could present to emergency for. I suppose you could say a pregnant person could present with the same things.
Sure, no worries at all. Now, I know one of the questions that I ask with any woman that is fairly young and they've come in for abdominal pain, one of the first questions that I'm going to ask is there a chance that you're pregnant? My understanding is I'm asking that because of a possibility of something like an ectopic pregnancy. But what else would there be in mind? Why?
So I suppose, yeah, like you said, ectopic pregnancy, a miscarriage, a placental abruption, uterine rupture, things like that can cause abdominal pain. I guess it's important to know if someone is pregnant, though, in any situation, really, because that's going to change management ultimately and change the medications you give. Like, it changes everything in some respect. So
caring for the woman who's got some sort of obstetric emergency. So at uni, we're learning all about breech births, shoulder dysgeusia. With shoulder dysgeusia, learning all of the maneuvers that you'd be taught from Nick Roberts and Ruben's one and all that sort of stuff. I won't go into anything about the real management of it with you today, but how often do you see these types of obstetric emergencies?
So I suppose the most common one that we see would be a PPH, like a postpartum hemorrhage. Shoulder dysgeusia we see every now and then. I wouldn't say it's something you see all the time, but it's definitely something that does occur. Breech births or undiagnosed breech births, I would say not many. Usually nowadays with ultrasound and everything, we would be anticipating if someone was going to have a breech vaginal birth. But in saying that, people do can and do opt for vaginal breech births. So I guess it's different if it's if it's something they've planned, then it sort of takes away that emergency. You know, it doesn't feel so much of as an emergency as if they just walked in the door and didn't know they were going to have a breech baby.
I remember when I was on, I think it was one of my placements, there was a big code green that went off, which is one of the big emergency C-sections.
Yeah.
So even just that whole situation, just seeing how all of the team members all fitted into the scenario in order to fix it up, it's an incredible scene.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty amazing. And where I work, it is such a great team. Everyone sort of just, you know, it's just a natural slipping into a role or a task or a job. And yeah, it's, you can't really, you know, how would you cope without that sort of teamwork and communication in situations like that?
And just keeping on this train of thought, Charlotte, so once this is initiated and you say that you, as a midwife, has fit into a certain role, what would your role be in this emergency?
In the emergency of someone who was having an emergency cesarean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it depends if you were the primary midwife who had been in the room with the woman the whole day, you would stay with the woman, you would go all the way down to theatre, stay for the procedure and everything. Often a big part of, you know, I find when that happens, usually your team of other midwives will come and all of a sudden everything's done, you know, they're prepped for theatre, the paperwork's done, you're really just focusing on communicating with the woman and her partner or support person about what is happening, because sometimes things do happen quickly, and it's important, I think, not to miss out on that opportunity to sort of tell them why something is happening the way it is. But yeah, or if you're not the midwife that's been in the room all day, you might be someone that's coming in just to help get things ready. So it really depends on the situation, but documentation, getting theatre paperwork ready to take down, transferring onto a different bed, hanging up a bag of fluids, things like that. So usually there's so many people that do one thing that it all happens before you even, you know, you look up and it's done. So,
all right, Charlotte, so just continuing, I'll sort of round out my time now with obstetrics in the emergency department. For yourself, who's talking to especially someone like myself who doesn't deal with obstetrics every day, is there any other sort of advice that you'd sort of give to someone like myself in that aspect?
Yeah. So I just think, yeah, it's important to still try, like, even though it's stressful and it's different and, you know, there might be things you're not sure about or haven't come across before, just making sure that it's normalized and remains woman-centered, I suppose, because often women who come in to have babies have never been in hospital before, and it can be a highly stressful time if they're worried about, you know, what's happening or what might happen. So I guess just keeping things calm and communicating like you would with any patient, but I just think it's really important in this scenario, and just reassuring them that you're liaising with whoever needs to be involved, you know, a pediatric team, obstetric team, whoever's necessary at the time. You know, I think it's easy to get caught up in an emergency and overwhelmed, and, you know, it's a highly stressful event, but just trying to keep the woman as calm as possible and not fearful of what might be going on. So communication, really.
And thank you so much for that advice, Charlotte. I think it's really going to help a lot of people. Just from your own experiences, has there been any other courses or anything that you've done which emergency nurses might find useful as well?
I think of a program that that I did as a student and is compulsory to do every year as working as a midwife at our hospital, and it's called PROMPT. So it stands for Practical Obstetric Multi-Professional Training Program. So in that program at our at the hospital that I work at, the invitation to complete that program, which is just a one day, you know, professional development day program. The invitation is extended to those who work in anaesthetics, theatre, emergency departments, any sort of area where you might come across obstetric emergencies. So I don't know if it's something you can do or read up on if there isn't a maternity at the hospital that you worked at, but it's definitely something that I think is so valuable for, you know, for the staff that don't come across these emergencies every day, but do come across them every now and then, because it really sets you up. And I find when I'm in a situation, I do think back to the clinical scenarios that we practice. So it's quite, you know, it's acting out scenarios and you're using real equipment, things like that. So it's really, really a beneficial tool when it comes to obstetric emergencies, and something that I think, yeah, anyone that comes across that could come into you know, experiencing a patient having an emergency that's obstetric related would benefit from.
So now that's something that we train so often with the paramedic.
Exactly.
Talking about, but again, like, it's unless you're using it every day, I think that the things that you don't use every day are often the things that get you the most worried, because you're just not getting it autonomous anymore. So I think anything like that course would be fantastic and invaluable to anyone.
Yeah, definitely. I think it, you know, we do it every year and you still learn something new every year. So
I think a lot of people, they do their ALS and they do that's an invaluable thing in itself, and I made an episode on this podcast not too long ago about it. But it's just, as you say, like playing with the equipment, going over it again, and just having those fundamentals in play just make a huge difference.
Exactly. And it's sort of, you know, you can see how everyone fits into the scenario. You know, you've got, you usually have someone who's an obstetric registrar, you might have a senior midwife, a junior midwife, a pediatrician, and anaesthetist. You've got a whole group, and it's about designating roles and coordinating how you all work together to achieve the best outcome, I suppose. Yeah.
All right, Charlotte. So one of the most common questions I ask to guests on this show is talking about your experiences of transitioning from student to now fully fledged registered nurse. What were some of the challenges that you face making that transition?
I think the hardest thing for me was, like, I would go home and I would think about everything I'd done and didn't do, and I would think, oh, did I sign this drug off, or did I empty this catheter? Like, just the smallest little things that you would just go home and think about and think about and think about. And I suppose you just have to trust that you have, but I think that was the biggest jump. I suppose at time management as well, you like, as a student, you can take a patient load to a certain extent, but it's never completely taking full, I don't know how to explain it, because you do take a patient load as a student, but then when you're doing it completely independently, sometimes there are things that you just, all day you think, am I missing something? Am I doing enough? Or so I think.
Yeah, I think we all feel the exact same way there, Charlotte. My goodness. Like, even for someone like yourself who's in a completely different area of nursing, it's funny that you say that, because everyone I speak to have all started as a grad, and I know myself, we are all feeling the exact same way.
Yeah, exactly. And I think another thing, which I still do now, is sort of take things home with me, in a sense that I'll just go home and wonder about the patient. Oh, I wonder what happened. You know, I wonder if everything's okay. And especially in the birthing area, if you've looked after someone and they haven't birthed on your shift, you sort of go home and wonder. And I know you can just check when you go back the next day or 2 days later or whenever, but it's, I think already though, in a year, I've noticed how much less I've done that, and how I can just sort of you know, put it to the back of your mind when you're at home and then just follow up the next day or whatever you need to do. It's obviously it's good to reflect, but if you find you're just thinking about work 24/7, it's can be a bit emotionally draining.
What are some of the structures that you've put in place on how to deal with this? Is there anything that you do to do exercising, or do you just try to escape for a little bit? Like, what sort of management techniques do you use to deal with stress?
I do exercising, go out for walks, things like that as well. Sometimes if I've had a bad day at work or a, you know, an experience at work, I'll try to hang out with or talk to friends who aren't from work. I have a lot of great, really good friends who I do work with, which is amazing from a debrief point of view because they really understand where you're coming from. But sometimes if you don't want to talk about it, or you just think, oh, I just want to talk about something else, it's also so important, I think, to have friends that aren't from work or family or partners, whoever, that you can just talk about non-work related topics to clear your mind a bit.
No, that's excellent. And is there any other advice that you'd give for these nurse midwife young women who are coming through at the moment? Like, when you're about to finish off your job and you're entering into the workforce, what are some of the big tips that you'd give from your experience?
I think just take the advantage to ask as many questions as you can. Like, you don't stop learning just because you've finished your degree. Like, keep asking questions, keep seeking reassurance from people more senior than you are. And, you know, I think in my experience I would always doubt, oh, is this what I'm meant to be doing, and just a quick question, or is this okay, and someone will say, yeah, that's fine, can be enough for you to have the confidence to, you know, next time you feel fine about it. So just keep asking lots of questions and just enjoy it and try to get the most out of it that you can. Really, it's such a good year to keep learning and to sort of grow into the nurse or midwife that you want to be, and working without someone, you know, right next to you the whole time can be really good and really empowering in a way as well.
Done. So Charlotte, you did so outstandingly well when it came to your graduate year that you ended up getting graduate midwife of the year, which was for your unit, for your hospital, which was absolutely incredible. You should be so proud of yourself for that.
Thank you.
So now that you've finished your grad year and you've now entered your second year into the profession, yes, what's next? What's next for you now?
So I guess there's a few things I've sort of got on my mind. I'm doing a water birth training course on Monday. So that will, once I get signed off on that, I'll be able to look after women who want to give birth in the birthing pools. Then the week after that, I'm doing another conference about optimal positioning of babies, so how you can get your baby in the best position to for labor. Yeah, I definitely want to continue working where I am. I'm really starting to enjoy it, and you know, it's a huge jump from student to graduate. That's not something I could ever have believed would be so big, I suppose, before you do it. But I think this, you know, now it's been over a year and you sort of settle in and you start feeling more comfortable with your everyday stuff. So I guess just thinking of how you can keep updating your skills and stuff, I guess.
So, thank you so much for your time today, Charlotte. I've learned so much today, and that's I'm sure a lot of people have too.
Okay, good. Thanks for having me.